really interesting story at the weekend. This was front page news in lots and lots of the national newspapers. Story that says that one in four cancer deaths is now caused by obesity. Sorry, one in five it is, 20%. Experts in America are saying that obesity is on course to be the main cause of cancer. It's on course to go ahead of smoking as a causation of cancer. Now, just think about that. That is absolutely incredible. I've been speaking to a cancer specialist in New York, a guy called Dr. Clifford Hudis, and he's intriguing about this. I began by asking him about these findings that obesity could cause more cancer than smoking.
Yes, yeah, so in the United States and maybe some other Western countries with successful tobacco control programs, we are doing a better job of ramping down the impact of tobacco. At the same time, the rates of obesity and especially the highest categories of obesity have been increasing in these countries. And we know that obesity is associated with an increased risk of the most common solid tumors in Western adults, breast cancer, prostate cancer, colon cancer, and so on. Well, as you control tobacco and obesity rates grow, what will happen in the next few years is that obesity will replace tobacco as the leading modifiable risk factor for cancer.
Wow. How much does it increase? I'm here's the context, Clifford. I'm 22 stone, right?
No.
So there's the context for you. How much does it increase our risk?
Well, first of all, luckily for you as an American, I have no idea what 22 stone means. But
let me help you there. It's over 300 pounds.
Yeah, this is not good for you. The main problem is high blood pressure.
There's a transatlantic prognosis.
And so forth. So the health risks are all those things. Truthfully, cancer is lower on the list than heart attacks, strokes, diabetes, hypertension, arthritis, and so on. But it raises the risks of different cancers by different amounts, anywhere from not at all to two to fourfold greater, depending.
A fourfold greater chance of getting some cancers?
Yes. Well, it's a combination of an increased risk of getting it and of a bad outcome from it.
So why is that? What's happening in the body? Why does fat and obesity cause cancer? What happens inside the body?
There are complicated reasons. My group in New York is studying this very pointedly, and one of the parts of the answer is that obesity is associated with a low-grade chronic inflammatory condition in the fat, the white adipose of various tissues in the body. Those inflammatory chemicals turn on genes and cause signals that are promotional for cancer.
Wow. Okay. So what are we going to do about it?
Well, it's a very hard question because of several problems. First of all, we don't know that reversing it after you are obese necessarily fixes the problem.
Oh, well, that's good.
Secondly, the problem is, of course, programs to control obesity are largely not very successful. So we struggle with that. And so what we have to do is understand exactly why and then target it in ways that are acceptable to the public. Obviously, if dieting and weight loss were the answer, that's what we would do. But unfortunately, it may turn out to be a little more complicated. Now, having said that, I want to emphasize something else that always gets lost. The problems of obesity are stroke, heart attack, diabetes, arthritis. Cancer is not in the top five on that list. So you may be afraid of cancer, but the way obesity ruins your life is all these other health problems. And so everybody's motivated, I hope, to calorie restrict and do something about this anyway. Cancer's just one more problem on a long list.
It's fine if you don't know the stats, because I'm bouncing you here, Dr. Hudis, but you mentioned stroke and heart attack. So how much does morbid obesity increase your risk of stroke and heart attack? I'm sure I can look it up.
Of course, it varies by age and it varies by additional risks, but it's anywhere from not at all to two to fourfold greater.
Why do you think the message isn't getting through?
I don't know. I mean, one of the challenges is one of the things we're very good at in the West is generating inexpensive calories and distributing them broadly. So in its weird way, this is an agricultural success that we're able to do all this, right? So you can buy 800 calories for $5 in the United States or less. at a McDonald's or any other fast food location, I don't think they're evil. They're just doing what the economy incentivizes them to do. What I think is the challenge for us is to figure out ways to get healthier, lower calorie, more nutritious food into many parts of our ecosystem. You'll notice that I did not identify any specific food group or problem. Mm. This is a problem of global energy balance, and it's real. The numbers are just there. I don't really know which component of the diet is specifically good or bad, and it's excruciatingly hard to really nail it down and study it. So we're pretty careful to say this is a problem of global energy balance. And if you can restrict your calories on an all-butter diet, that's better than not. I don't know whether it's good or bad overall, but that's a more complicated question. What I'm saying is calorie restriction and weight control are the global aggregate of all these other millions of decisions.
Because, for example, Clifford, I've read some recent studies. I can't quote them off the top of my head, but for another project that I'm working on in television, I've read some recent studies that would suggest that significant, dramatic calorie restriction in animals and in laboratories has been proven to very significantly improve health.
Exactly.
No, but I'm talking about, 900 calories a day.
To try to help you out here, in our experiments, even very modest bits of weight loss are associated with favorable changes in the inflammatory mediators that we're able to study. I still don't know whether that's enough or the whole story. But this started with a discussion of why is the risk going up? We're trying to find it out. What is the known association with the risk? It is obesity. You're asking a more nuanced question about how you get obese, how you maintain that weight, and what you do to control it. That's a food or dietary content question, and you're right, that's a trickier one.
So tell me,
I know that the global balance of energy for you as an individual is the starting point for that discussion.
So tell me more, while we have you with us, about these inflammatory factors. So and explain this to me as an ordinary bloke that doesn't quite understand what you're talking about so far, right? So
okay.
the inflammation is what's actually happening in my body. Tell me about this.
So in excess of fat, the fat cells are stretched and then they die. That's normal. To clean up the dead fat cells, inflammatory cells called phagocytes, they're eaters, come and clean up the debris. To digest the debris, they secrete inflammatory chemicals. This is normal. We all do this at some level. The problem is, in the obese, there's just more of this process underway, and these inflammatory mediators turn on lots of genes that control various cellular functions that may promote the transformation or growth of cancer. That's the simple version.
And you can statistically follow an increased likelihood. You can actually draw a correlation between obesity and cancer. There's no doubt in your mind.
This has been going on for more than a decade silently. What's remarkable is if you ask the average person on the street, is tobacco a cause of lung cancer, what do they say?
They will say yes.
They may still smoke, but they know it, right?
Yeah.
On the other hand, only 10% of the general population is aware of this established fact.
Well, that's because we associate obesity with heart attacks. We associate obesity with diabetes.
Right. And they may be linked to the same inflammatory mediators that are causing those consequences may be contributing to these.
The worrying thing is that you say that even if we reverse, if we reduce our morbid obesity, our levels of obesity, that you're not sure whether that reduces our likelihood of cancer.
Right. We don't know that for sure. That's a very scientific answer to your question. You were complaining about all the mixed dietary messages, and I agree with you. So when I make a claim, I have to back it up with data. I would like to believe that weight loss is healthy for this reason. I think it probably is, but we have not yet proven that.
I'm just reading from this this Times article. It says the link between obesity and tumours is still being investigated, but Dr. Ligabel has said we know that breast and prostate cancers are both influenced by hormonal factors, and there's a lot of crosstalk between weight and hormones. Does that make sense, Clifford?
That's exactly the inflammatory connection. The inflammatory mediators turn on the gene that controls the production of estrogen in fat.
And look at this other statistic. The organization's calculations suggest, Clifford, that up to 20, this is startling if true, up to 20% of cancer deaths in the U.S. are caused by excess weight.
Yeah, that's our calculation from ASCO. Now, remember, the number...
1 in 5 cancers.
Cancer, sure. Well, that would make perfect sense. If they're all caused by age, and then they're caused by something else. This is a modifiable risk factor. The leading risk factor remains age.
1 in 5 cancer deaths.
Mm-hmm.
I am blown away by this.
Okay.
So you think about the risk factors that many people have... in their lives. I would have thought smoking would have been well up there.
Because, it was.
And it's no longer.
It's being surpassed because we have a smoking rate now that's dropping below 10%. So this is replacing it.
So that then leads us finally, Clifford, to a discussion around, you know, we've had lots of conversations on radio phone-ins, talk shows like this in the past. You know, should there be zero tolerance toward? Should there be a sugar tax? Should there be health warnings on foods that, you know, in the same way that we had smoking will kill you? You know, crisps can kill you, fat can kill you, chocolate can kill you, and they were pretty mundane phone-ins, to be honest, because we're all sitting here thinking that's never going to happen. Now,
right.
If we are now saying that 1 in 5 cancer deaths are caused by obesity, then it's not that fantastical to suggest that the same warnings that were on cigarette packets would be put on food.
So it's a bit more of a challenge because nobody must smoke, but everybody must eat. And it isn't that any specific food is the problem here. It's the aggregate of your calories consumed minus the calories your body burns are the problem. So, for example, an athlete who is burning 6,000 or 8,000 calories a day can obviously eat more than somebody who's sitting in a chair and a desk for the day, right? So you have to get to the place where you understand that this is a balance question for each individual. We need much better solutions because most of our interventions are unsuccessful. You are exactly right. And that's why we have to study this and we need to understand something that really works.
One final question, Clifford, because you say that you won't state anything as fact unless there's research to back it up. So where are you getting this statement from that it doesn't matter what type of food you eat, the quantity is what's important? In other words, the body mass is what's important. So are you honestly telling me that someone that lives on a diet of 2,500 calories a day of crisps and chocolate and cake is statistically as healthy as someone who lives on a diet of 2,500 calories of vegetables and fruit and protein?
Of course not. But that's not the question that you're posing. You're really comparing a diet of 6,000 calories with all that junk in it versus a healthy diet of 2,500 when you get down to real life. And that makes it harder to answer your question. I am certain that the diet of crisps has to be less healthy than the diet of vegetables. But nobody manages to do that at the equal calorie amount.
Okay, so your point is when you eat crap, you eat more of it.
You get more calories. That's one of the problems with the junk food. It's loaded with calories. And that's a confounding factor in this discussion.
Are you fat?
well, more than I was 30 years ago, but no, I'm not.
Right. Dr. Kudis, really, really informative stuff. Really informative.
Thank
you so much for talking to us, sir.
It's a pleasure. I have to tell you, I'm speaking to you from the Museum of the Broadcast Communications in Chicago by chance, where I have an event tonight. So it's sort of interesting to be standing here among the old radios doing a radio show with you.
Right. Well, thank you so much for taking time out to talk to us. Wow.
Thanks,
I'm gobsmacked by that. And I really was, actually. I've been thinking about it ever since. So one in five cancers... caused now by obesity, it's going to overtake smoking. My goodness, isn't that shocking? And ever since Peter Robinson's heart attack as well, First Minister's heart attack, and of course we wish him well, and it's good to see Peter back up on his feet again. He was down at the golf there the other day. I, you know, I can't help thinking, even when I'm reading about Peter Robinson in the Belfast Telegraph this morning, great article that he's done there in that paper. I don't know how I'm going to crack it. Really, really don't. I reckon I'm a heart attack waiting to happen, just like what happened to Peter there. Just don't know what I'm going to do. If you want to pick up the phone today, 08459 555 678, 08459 555 678.